Well, today we're doing something a little bit different, and if you are if you're a guest with us this morning, you picked a very different Sunday, I guess, to come and be with us today, because we are last week we started a new series, and we talked about a new start. A new start is the name of the series. We talked about a new start on faith, and if you hear last week, what we did is we talked about a particular moment in the history of God's people, where Joshua is called to take over leadership of God's people, and he's unqualified and untrained in many ways, and was just Moses' servant for so long. And God calls him into this moment, and God's people into this moment, and parts the waters for them to finally enter into the promised land. And we talked about what that means for us. And this morning, we're picking up the story and beginning to do something that God commanded his people to do after God showed up in this incredible way. And this is what it says in Joshua chapter 4, verse 1. It says, "When the whole nation had finished crossing the Jordan, the Lord said to Joshua, 'Choose 12 men from among the people, one from each tribe, and tell them to take up 12 stones from the middle of the Jordan, from right where the priests are standing, and carry them over with you and put them down at the place where you stay tonight.' So Joshua called together the 12 men he had appointed from the Israelites, one from each tribe, and he said to them this. He said, 'Go before the ark of the Lord your God into the middle of the Jordan. Each of you is to take up a stone on his shoulder according to the number of the tribes of the Israelites, to serve as a sign among you. In the future, when your children ask, 'What do these stones mean?' tell them that the flow of the Jordan was cut off before the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord. Tell them what God did. When it crossed the Jordan, the waters of the Jordan were cut off. These stones are to be a memorial to the people of Israel forever." So this morning, what we want to do is to do the same thing that God called his people to do under the leadership of Joshua. And they saw God perform this incredible miracle, show up for them in a way that they didn't expect, in a way that shocked them, surprised them. And God said, "I don't want you to forget this. Right? You need to build this pile of stones and remember what God has done for you." And so this morning, what we want to do is essentially hit pause and take a moment to not only look at where we're at as a community, as Mosaic, and where we're going, but also to take a moment to pile stones, if you will, to remember the stories and the things that we need to remember that so much define who this church is and allow them to propel us into the future. And I had this really cool idea to pile this big pile of rocks, and they're not here. And I went to this cement place, and they had them, and I even piled them, and it just looked so cool, and I could picture them just like right here. Just imagine. And then they left while I was looking at the rocks. They closed the store and went home for the weekend. And they're not open Saturday or Sunday. So I honestly thought about just taking them. But then, I just had this vision in my head of, this front page newspaper story of pastors busted for stealing rocks for church. So I couldn't bring myself to do that. But just visualize it, how cool that would be. They're not here. But anyway, so symbolically, that's what we want to do this morning is take some time. And I'm not going to do this alone. I've asked Brian and Kevin if they would come up and join me. And what we're going to do is essentially have a conversation between friends and remember together the things that we need to remember. And if you don't know these guys, so Kevin, the one with the finely sculpted hair, is our associate pastor. And he does a lot of things, pretty much everything I can't do, and then some. His unofficial title is Minister of GCD, which stands for Minister of Get Crap Done. And he does. He gets a lot of crap done, and we've had him do so many different things in the past 18 months, and we'll probably talk about some of that. And this gentle giant is Brian Marine, and Brian is our creative director, and he leads us in worship up here in music every week, and I basically asked them, as we were talking about this Sunday and some of the things we want to do, is ask them to kind of stir on this question. And Brian, I'm going to pose this to you and let you start us off. As you look back on the last year to 18 months in this journey we've been on, what is one thing, if you had to put your finger on like one story, one moment, one thing that happened that that really sums up like what we've seen God do, what would that be?
Yeah, as I was thinking about it, it's kind of two stories in one, but it all kind of fits together with just what we've been experienced through the music up here. On launch Sunday, I met a guy named Eric right in the back over there, and he's not over there. He lives in California now, but
a lot of you turned around to look for him. I don't know if you saw that.
I wish he was back there. But I met this guy named Eric, and he came up and introduced himself to me, and he like knew everything about me. He was like, "Oh, you're Brian. You're married to Chelsea, and you do the creative stuff." And I'm like, "Who? How do you know this?" And what I found out was that he had gone on to our website, and he just devoured our website. I mean, he just was read everything, watched every video that was on there, knew everything about us before he came into the room. So it was a little weird, but then we figured out why he knew so much about me, and then it was fine. But the reason why he came to church that day was because in the videos that we had made online, he liked the music that was on those videos. And he was like, "Man, if these guys that are making these videos like the same kind of music that I like, maybe I could go to church. Maybe I could go to that church." So he showed up on Sunday morning. We had this connection through kind of music that we like in life. Started talking about that. That morning, I from the front kind of talked about my love for music and how I collect vinyl and all this different stuff. And he came up to me in between. He was like, "Dude, I collect vinyl too." We just had this music connection that day. But then after the service, he came back up to me, found me afterwards, and in tears just told me how much the music that morning that we had done had moved him. And this is a guy who's never gone to church, didn't have a background.
He had actually emailed me before we launched and asked permission if he could come to church, because he's practicing, studied Buddhist, and was had done a lot of study in the area of Buddhism, and so he emailed me and he was like, "Hey, I'm thinking about coming to church, and that's scary because I've never gone to church, and I don't know what the Bible says. I've never really read it. But is it okay if a Buddhist comes to your church?" And so it was really cool, you know, being able to say, "Yes, please come. This is for you." You know, like so much of the vision of Mosaic is to create a safe place to have a conversation about what it means to follow Jesus. And we're very upfront about that. Like, you know, essentially that's what we're talking about. That's what we're trying to do is follow Jesus. But we want this to be a community where anybody can come, regardless of where they are in the spiritual spectrum, and ask questions and seek and doubt and belong long before they believe. And whether or not they ever believe, you know, what we believe to be true of Jesus, they're still welcome, you know, because they're honored and they're valued for who they are and who they're not. And we're praying that in community that God would do a profound work in their lives.
Well, I think that's one of the things about Eric's story that sticks out. Or the day he showed up, he walked up to me and said, "I just saw Tony." And
that's right.
Like, cool. Like, Tony was in one of our videos from 30 and 30, and he thought Tony was famous. And so,
he's like, "He talked to me.
He talked to me.
Really talked to me.
I saw Tony." And we're like, "Awesome, man." And he was so excited, and somehow Tony's story like spoke to Eric's story, and it made the safe place for Eric to explore what faith meant and who Jesus was. And I don't think if he hadn't seen Tony's story, it wouldn't have meant as much. Like the moment he walked in, seeing Tony's face.
And Tony, you hated that video.
By the way, Tony is here this morning, so if you want his autograph afterwards,
famous
he's
Tony,
right over here.
Famous Tony.
But it was during this tear-filled conversation that Eric told me, and then later told Aaron that he was in. From just walking into church the first time, he said, "I'm in. Whatever this is, I'm in." And then if you've been around, you maybe remember Eric was one of the people that got baptized last year during our first baptism session. Just a really cool story of something that God did. And he's not the only story that's like that. People that I've heard that are connecting to just musically what's happening here. And you know, people, I hear all the time people saying things like, you guys just look like you guys just are raw and like just you're so in sync and all this, you know, all these things. And I'm just like, okay, I don't really, you know, like, cool, thank you. you know, for us, like, this has been a crazy year, a crazy journey for us. You know, when we started doing the music for Sunday mornings, none of us had barely even met. I mean, we were hanging out a couple months maybe before we threw ourselves together as a band. We had never played with each other as a band, and we had 2 months to learn enough songs that we could play 4 songs a week every week until, you know, whatever. And so we were like, oh, okay. So we started practicing and just really weren't sure how it was going to go. I mean, we had no idea what to expect. And we were just praying that we would be able to get through a song, you know. I mean, that was really like, and so we spent a lot of time this last year just praying that God would just use us and use what we're doing. And it's been really cool to see what's happened. Not only on Sunday morning, but what's really cool and unique about, I think, what we have at Mosaic is that it isn't just about us on Sunday morning and playing and performing on Sunday morning. Like what we've found that we have is this very unique team of people that love each other and like know each other really well and pray for each other and know when to call each other out on things and when to love someone through a rough time. And we got each other's backs. And you know, and there's just this feeling of, like, we are a team. Then, I mean, beyond what happens on Sunday mornings, you know, we are a team. We are a unit. And it's just been really, really cool spiritually for us as a team to kind of go through that process with one another. And so as I, you know, when I think about this past year, cool ways that I've seen God show up in this past year, and I look ahead to the future and kind of what I want to, like what I see Mosaic being in the future, is I really see us multiplying that at Mosaic.
Yeah, could you speak to that? Because I know that there are many people who are in this room and have been a part of this community for some time that God has gifted with musical talent and has a heart for worship. Would you kind of speak to that, yeah, as far as like moving forward? Because I know that's one of those things that continues to resurface.
That's
something we've been talking a lot about.
You know, I mean, what we've realized is that to do it any other way besides a band approach is just it would cheapen what we have as a band, but then also what Mosaic gets to experience on Sunday mornings as well. And so we're going to try to recreate that. So we're going to start another band here in the next couple months. And it's possible as we grow that we'll be just kind of continually adding bands to that. So that would definitely be a way that if you feel like your, you know, music is your thing, or worship, you know, specifically worship music is your thing, that would be definitely a way that not only can you be a part of things, but you can also start to like have that team that we've experienced. But also, you know, I really just see Mosaic being this community of musicians and artists who just get to experience that, whether it's on Sunday morning, leading worship on Sunday morning at Mosaic or not. I mean, maybe that's in some other way. Maybe that's just through getting together and creating together and doing music together just in life. So that's kind of where I, yeah, my thoughts on that, my, yeah, vision for that.
Yeah, that's cool. And by point of like just way of sharing and clarification, one of the reasons that we've decided rather than another reason rather than like swapping out, hey, there's a different bass player, different drummer this week, different vocalist. The reason that we've decided to choose to cultivate multiple bands rather than having like this open door thing happening all the time is also, in addition, is part of the heartbeat and the vision of Mosaic is we, I mean, the reason we started this is not because Lincoln needs another place to worship on Sunday morning, right? And the heartbeat behind what we're doing is Lincoln is packed full of people who need Jesus. And we had seen so many of our friends walk away from faith, or we've had so many friends and still have so many friends that we're investing in and praying in, and there just weren't very many communities that they felt was a safe place. And so that was kind of like the soil for what you know, this became. And so part of our heartbeat is we want to see the city of Lincoln transformed from the inside out, a movement of Jesus through his people. We want to see the church unleashed. And so part of our vision is, as we grow, is to not just be a church in one location, but as God raises up leaders from within Mosaic, and as the right opportunities present themselves, to be a multi-campus church and a church planting church. And so in cultivating multiple bands, one of the cool things that means for us is when the right opportunity presents itself and when the time comes to launch a downtown campus that meets in a bar on Sunday night, or to launch a campus in North Lincoln, that we are uniquely positioned to move very quickly when the right opportunity comes. And so I love that. I love that. That's kind of the direction that we're headed. So what does that look like for people like moving forward? Like if somebody is an artist, if somebody is a musician, a vocalist, and they want to get connected, how?
Well, you know, right now we're you maybe noticed we have a couple new people up here with us, and that's because we're trying to get that second band started. So what you can be looking forward to in the next couple months is we're going to actually do kind of a calling all musicians kind of event where we're going to just, if you ever had an interest in playing, or maybe even not necessarily playing on Sunday morning, but just want to be a part of, just see who from Mosaic likes to play music or likes to sing. We're going to do that kind of a thing, and then from there we'll roll out kind of the process on what you can do to get involved, what you can do to be connected to people at Mosaic who also do music. So,
and did I hear a rumor that you guys might be working on a worship album in
2012? We're thinking about it. We're getting the process rolling. We don't know exactly what that entails, details wise, but yeah, we just think like you know, we've had so many people come up to us and just tell us that what we're doing has blessed their lives so much, and so we want to make that available more often. So if that means that for you to have something to take home and have during the week to listen to and reflect on with, but then also that it would might maybe create room for more opportunities someplace where someone's looking for a worship band, and we can say, like, here you go, here's what we're, you know, what we kind of do. So
very cool. Okay, so Kevin. I'm going to pose the same question to you then. You know, if you could put your finger on one or two stories or moments from this past year, what would those be?
One of the stories that I constantly reflect back to is, I don't know how many of you got to be here on launch day for Mosaic back in last March, but it was a pretty incredible day. But leading up to launch day, there was a lot of stuff that happened. One of the things that, like, sticks out is we ordered 20,000 flyers to go pass out on doors, and 40 of us decided we were going to pass out 20,000 flyers in a weekend.
Right? It's easy. Yeah.
Which works out
seems
perfect
realistic.
If you think about it. 20,000 flyers, 40 people, and I think we passed out about 5,000. And it was – we stuffed, like, these plastic things, 20,000 flyers of them. And we passed out five. And
I remember at the end of the first day, like, all of our feet were hurting and our backs were hurting and we were just exhausted. Like, we panned out, like, 1,500, you know.
And
like,
we were excited.
19,000.
We were like, we are going to get to 20 so quick. And so we got done, like, a few blocks and we're like, we are just flying.
And it was cold.
And it was, yeah, it was like February.
February.
And we're like, we are just going to knock out 20,000 so quick. And we didn't. At all. And
they've sat in my garage ever since.
Yeah, they sat in his garage for like a year.
Flyers if you need any.
And so we ordered all these flyers, and they were pretty. And I think the funny thing is, like, we thought about, like, looking back to these 20,000 flyers we ordered and the 5,000 that actually made it to someone's door. It's funny to think, like, on launch day, like, people will actually, as we talked to them, are like, so how'd you hear about Mosaic? And, like, you hung a flyer on my door. And you're like, yes. You know, like that's why we hung it on that street.
There were several.
There was literally people who were like, I got a flyer on my door, and so I decided to come.
Anybody here get a flyer on their door?
One. Yes. Two. Of you. Two.
See, that was a good investment.
Those were the two houses that
worth
we went
it.
To. And we just kept hanging them there. But it's like, it was those kind of things. We all of us are like super social media experts.
Yes.
Totally. And we decided we should have a
meaning
social media
meaning we waste a lot
training.
Of time on social media.
Yeah.
Way too much time on Facebook.
Right. And we decided we should have a social media training for, like, our core group. And And by social media training, what we decided is we need to teach people how to use the like button. So we sat in a basement. Yeah, some people were there. And we literally, on our projector, we were like, here's how you like something. Here's how you share. And nobody paid attention to me for the 20 minutes that I talked. Like, people were on their phones. We told people to bring their computers, which was a bad idea, because all of them were on their computers like, look at my Facebook page. And so we're, like, teaching them how to use social media, and this is Twitter. And the only thing I think that we got out of it really was, this is Foursquare, and everybody signed up for Foursquare, and then nobody checked in anywhere. So it was just a blast. And we thought it was, like, was really cool, you know, social media training. And really we thought, like, this is just a great way to tell people about Mosaic. And then on launch day, people showed up because they, like, their friend shared on Facebook about Mosaic. And we were like, yeah, well, that's what's supposed to happen. And people came. And then we were like, you know, it's like social media? Social media ads, which, if you can tell, social media geniuses. So we wrote Facebook ads. Our own. And we told everybody on Mosaic they weren't allowed to click them.
Because we have to pay for those.
Because we have to pay for them. So we're like, guys, if you see this on your page, don't click on it. Which I'm sure some of them did just because we said not to. Sure. But so we created these Facebook ads, and Eric actually came. Like, he found our site because he saw an ad on Facebook. We're like, okay. Like, you saw an ad on Facebook, and that's what led you to church, which led you to start a relationship with God. And that's the kind of stuff that we started seeing all throughout this process leading up to launch. Like, the stupid things that we thought, these are great ideas. Like, God somehow started to work through these simple ideas that we had. And some of them we thought were just like, we need to do this. Like, Eric watched all of our videos that we made during this, like, 30 days of making videos. And we're like, I didn't watch all the videos through after. You know, like, and Eric spent hours watching these videos that we made, and God started to work in his life because we were faithful in what we felt like God was calling us to do. And so, like, as I look kind of at the past year of Mosaic, it's easy to see, like, all these little things that we do that we don't necessarily think make this huge impact, God somehow is able to take these little things that we do and do something huge with. Like, on launch day when, like, way more people showed up than we thought were going to show up. Literally the night before, like, Aaron and Brian and I are like, hopefully some people come. Like, my family's going to be there, so that's good. So there'll be at least five of us, and things will be great, you know. And then people came, and it blew out our expectations, like, way beyond what we could ever ask God for. Like, we didn't even think God could show up that big. And I think that's what happens when we have these, like, tiny expectations for God. God likes to blow them up and be like, here's actually what I want to do. But that creates lots of problems, you know, like, for structure. When you're like, yeah, God, show up and there'll be 150 people. And then there's, like, 250. And you're like, sweet, 250 people. And now we have to do something with 250 people. And so, like, we're like, we're going to have life groups and small groups and people can go to them. And then there's 250 of you. And we're like, good. Like, literally, like, from the first day, we're like, awesome.
And we were going to do Starting Point. We were going to do Starting Point. We were thinking, oh, it'll just be this intimate. We'll go to someone's house. We'll have dinner. We'll all sit around a table. Three of us will share some stories. We'll figure out what life group they should be in. And we had a sign up for it, and there was, like, 50 people there.
70. We had 70
people there. And we were like, so we had to do it over here in the kids' area and, like, catering food, and it just turned into this whole different thing than what we were expecting. And so then we're like, how do we get all these people plugged into a life group?
And we were like, yeah. And for us, life groups is this thing where we were like, we want actually life groups to be more than just, like, it's more important that you're a life group than you come on Sunday morning. Like, for Mosaic, life group or small groups for us are really this thing where that's where you can connect and grow and become the person that God's created you to be. And so it's not something, just like in the band situation, it's not something you could be like, here's a leader, just go be a part of a group. That's good. As long as you attend a group, everything will be okay. For us, it's this very intentional thing that you're going to choose to invest your time and your energy and your life with a group of people for the long term. It's not just this period where you show up and then you're done. And so for us, it's been this thing where we're like, we need to find leaders and people who are going to say, I'm going to invest my time and energy for the long haul with a group of people so that I can see Christ grow in them. And so when 250 of you showed up, we were like, awesome. You know, like, we don't have those leaders yet.
Which is why we have not talked about life groups.
Yeah.
Like, what if they sign up? Like, what
yeah,
are we
like,
going to do
with them? What if 250 of you decide you want to be in a life group? Then what do we do? Like, awesome. Me and Aaron and Brian will lead life groups all week long. Like, that's what we'll do. And so we're like, but we don't want to cheapen the process because the process is actually where the value is found. This process of growth and discipleship is found in relationship. And so we could throw out hundreds of groups and tens of groups each week. But it's like until you spend time and invest lots of energy in that, it's not worthwhile. And so we're actually in the process of going, like, how do we do that in this large scale? And so in the next several months, next few weeks, we're going to be launching a lot of groups. Like, we're going to have 10 that you can be a part of, which to us is a lot because before we had 4. So,
10 is better.
10 is more. So we want you to be a part of those, but we also don't want it to be this thing where you can show up and feel out of place and not connected. We want it to be something you can be a part of for the long haul.
Yeah, so, well, I guess you spoke to it. I mean, there's like just a certain amount of growing pains, I guess, that happens when God is blessing something that we're still trying to figure out and work through. Like, one of the biggest questions I think for us is, like, how do we help 200 and some people follow Jesus? Like, how do we disciple this many people? And like, Sunday morning is a part of that, but it's such a small part of that. I mean, if Sunday morning is all you got, like, you don't have much, you know, because really that the most beautiful part is in relationship to other people. And some of that happens certainly organically. And like, this week I found out about life groups that exist that I didn't even know. It's like, oh, they're meeting and opening up the scriptures and following Jesus together. Awesome. Like, that can happen, you know. But there is a certain amount of, like, as we move forward. Yeah, that was you, Brittany, by the way. But as we move forward, you know, we realize, like, we've got to be very, very intentional as far as cultivating these groups and multiplying what's happening and position ourselves to continue to move forward. For me, you know, as I was thinking through this, you know, if I could put my finger on any one or two stories that such, like, just embodies this community and what we've seen God do in the last 18 months, has to be 30 and 30. Has to be 30 and 30. And it's kind of a weird thing when you step out to start a church because, you know, you start with, like, nobody and, like, no money and no resources and, you know, yes, no leaders, you know. And so you're dreaming about this thing and you're praying about this thing and you need to create space for God to do what he's going to do, but you don't have money to create that space, you know. Like, we have to rent a place. And so, you know, we were trying to figure out, like, okay, we have no money. How do we get some? That was really the question on our minds. And so we ended up partnering. We partner with an organization called ARC, which stands for the Association of Related Churches, which is really, it's a vague name. I don't know what related, we're related in some way. But anyway, side note, we're a part of this organization, and they, when they approved us, we were stoked because what they do is they will match what you fundraise up to $30,000. So they want to make sure that you're in it for the long haul, that you're not like the angry youth pastor who got fired and is convinced you can do everything better than your senior pastor. I'm going to start a church. Like, they want to know that, you know, you can gather a team, that God's in this, that you can raise funds, and then they'll match it. So we're like, sweet, we still need $30,000. So we came up with this idea.
You came up with this idea.
I came up with this idea, and initially it was just a horrible idea. But my idea was, hey, we're going to, you know, Jesus says, you don't have because you don't ask. So, Jesus, we need $30,000. So we're going to ask you for that. And so I had this idea, like, okay, let's get a flip cam, and we're going to make videos on this flip cam and throw them up on a blog, and people are going to go there and watch them and give us money. And that was the essence of it. And I was like, we can do funny stuff on these videos. And, you know, it was like Jackass meets the church. It was like the initial vision. It was a horrible idea. Horrible. So I present this to our team of like 20 people in basement. I'm like, hey, this is what we're going to do. You know, and like, yeah. And everybody's just looking at me like, oh, what do we get ourselves into? Like, is this a sign of things to come? Like, this is a horrible idea. So, but the beautiful thing about community, about the church, is I threw it out there, and it just kind of morphed as, I mean, somebody eventually spoke up with something other than "you're an idiot, just sit down and be quiet." I think it might have been Jacob Thomas, I can't remember, and he's like, "Okay, if we're going to do this, I'm a graphic designer, I can design a logo, you know, so at least we can give this like an identity and kind of brand it." And then, you know, Kevin was like, "Well, let's, I can make us a good website, like, you know, don't do like Zanga or, you know, you know, like I can make it look good."
And I said, what's a flip cam? Yeah. What's this flip cam?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. And so Brian's like, no, if we're going to do videos, like, we can make them look good. And we're not doing Jackass, you know. He said, let's create substance, you know. And so then we were like, okay, well, what stories need to be told about what we're setting out to do? And so we decided, okay, well, we're going to make these videos. They're going to be produced as best we can, you know, 20 people in the basement. And we're going to share the stories of our city and what's that grin for?
A video every day a month, for a month.
That's what he said to me. Yeah.
Just ridiculous.
I was like, we can do that.
A video every single day.
Yeah.
For a month.
Well, I didn't know how much time goes into these videos. So anyway.
Right.
So this started happening, and Al Halls was like, so are we just asking God for money? Are we going to do something like spiritual? Because it seems like we should. Like, are we fasting or something during this, you know? I was like, yes, that's what we are doing. We're going to fast. And so we decided to fast. And really, and there's a lot of pushback. Go figure, you know, eventually or initially. And people were like, look, I don't think you can pray that way. And I don't think you can ask God for something so specific. And that's kind of when the light bulb went on for me that this was so much more than just about $30,000. That this was about trusting God to do what he's promised to do. And that is to build his church, to change lives, to give us all power and authority to see the word of God, the gospel, go forward. And that when we do that, that God's going to multiply it, right? Like $30,000, we thought, you know what, even if we raise $1,000, like, we're going to change the world with $1,000, you know? Like, we
can buy a projector.
Yes, and that's all we need. You know, we serve the God, right, who can take two fish and a few loaves of bread and feed thousands. So $1,000, we're going to change the city for Christ. And so that's kind of like when things change. And so we started doing this thing. We started creating videos and praying that we wouldn't all be divorced by the end of 30 days. And because it was so much work, and it did not start out well at all. And so we were like, day 6, we decided to do an update, like, every few days.
This is a great idea.
Yeah. Well, because it took the burden off. So, like, that can be a flip
cam
video.
That was one video, yeah. That was one video.
You can use your computer to do it. You know, yeah. It's great.
Yeah. So we did an update, I think, like, after the first week, and we had $2,000.
And we were pumped.
We were so legitimately pumped.
Which I don't know if you can do the math, but it's like $1,000 a day to get $30,000 in a
month.
That's
some good math
right
there.
Good math.
So $2,000 in a week.
It's on the spot.
Not yeah. Very good.
Yeah, so we were pumped. We're like, $2,000, like, with the ARC money, that's $4,000. Like, we're working at Jimmy John's, you know, delivering sandwiches to feed our families. And we're like, $4,000 is all we need. And I'm, like, rehearsing in my head, like, what do you say to the team after, like, your first thing you do as a church is, like, this public failure in front of everybody, you know, that you didn't raise what you said you were going to. But very slowly, our people used our social media expert advice and like videos.
Share.
Yes. And before we knew it, though, it's like viral. Like, things just started taking off, and people started hopping on the website from all over the world and all over, obviously, Lincoln, and people started giving and giving and giving. And it was just absolutely amazing. I think during that month, we ended up having, like, how many hits?
Like 12,000, something like that.
12,000 hits.
For a site that didn't exist a month before that.
Yeah, which for us, I mean, that's, yeah, we couldn't manufacture something like that. And it was incredible, and they just struck a chord. And we were just really telling the stories of, like, this is why we're doing this, and these are the people who are a part of it. And this is our city that we are praying for and that we're believing God's going to do something incredible in. And on the night of day 29, the last of $30,000 came in, like this big chunk to put us over the top, right? And we were just blown away and just couldn't believe that God said yes, you know? And I remember just reflecting as a team, what do we do now? Like, what should we be asking God for? And to put things even over the top. So we had our 30, which was phenomenal. And I think our team doubled during that month. So people were hopping on board and really jumping in. And then, out of the blue, a couple things happen. I get this big box in the mail, and it's like this big. And I open it up, and there's this gorgeous guitar, like a $2,100 guitar. I looked it up. It's like, where did this come from? And there's a letter from this church planter in Montana who's got, how many kids is that? Megan, how many kids do they have? 13 kids. Natural kids. Do the math. Like, busy couple. And he sends me this guitar. Like, how poor are they? Actually, when we met them, they were living in an army tent moving to Montana to plant a church. it's unreal. Crazy people. I feel more sane when I hear stories like that. And they sent me this gorgeous guitar. And they said, God keeps telling me to give this to you. And I can't sleep, so here it is. Take it. And I feel like God's telling me to just invest in what you're doing because God's going to bless it. And I remember just knowing this man in their life, like such an incredible sign. And then a second thing happened. I got a check in the mail, an anonymous check for $30,000. Anonymous check, somebody who said, we've heard about what you're doing. We believe in you. God is going to blow that city up and use you in incredible ways. Here's $30,000. And I remember thinking, it was like God said, you know, we were so nervous to ask him for what we needed to do something to spread the gospel. And it was like God was saying, you were so scared to ask for 30 and 30. I'm going to give you 60 and 60. I'm going to double that because you're not praying big enough. And I feel like that, more than anything, encompasses so much of this journey. I mean, I look around. If there's any stones that, like, we should be stacking and reflecting on, like, I look around at the faces in this room and the stories represented and the stories of life change. And I'm just absolutely blown away by God's grace. That being said, one of the things that's really heavy on our hearts is the fact that if you look around, we're out of space. We're out of space, which is a great problem to have. And we've kind of been at this place for a while, but we've been kind of hesitant to pull the trigger, mostly just because we never talk about volunteers. I don't know if you noticed that. And that might be just a pride thing on my whatever. But I believe, like, I wait for people to step up and be like, hey, where's the need? I'm going there. Where's the need? I'm going there. But we need, and I'm just going to come out and say it this morning, is we need volunteers. Like, we need to make more space for those people that we know, that we are investing in, that we are praying for, who need to be here, right? The people that need Jesus. We need to create more space for them. And one of the things that I'm just realizing is, you know, a crowd is not necessarily a church, right? You can serve free beer and draw a crowd, right? We thought about it as a church planning strategy. Like, just kidding. But seriously.
But then we thought 2,000 flyers instead.
Yes.
That would be much better.
Yeah, we won't get run out of town for that one. You know, but you can, right? It's not necessarily a church. Like, at some point, like, you know, there has to be this moment where you move from being a part of a crowd to being a part of the community, to being a part of a movement. You can be a part of the crowd and miss that. And I think probably for many of us, having grown up, if we have grown up in church or had past experiences in churches, I think our natural bent is to be conditioned to just come and think of church as something you go to rather than something that you are and something you be. And so for us as a church, I'm just going to say this, like, we are moving forward on two services because we need to. At this point, once a room gets to be about 70, 75% full, the numbers start working against you. And the only way really to go back to go is backwards. You can't keep moving forwards. You can't reach more people. And we've been there for a while, but now it's just ridiculous as we're standing room only and overflowing the side that we need to create more space, but we need this next kind of generation, I guess, of Mosaic friends and family who call this place home and who believe in what's happening here to step up and to serve. And so some of the ways to do that, obviously, talking about worship, that's an area that we're looking to develop. And if you have a gift for that, and a heart for that, both gift and heart, we want to put you there, right? We don't want to do the American Idol thing, right? Just, we're going to do tryouts and that kind of thing. So know that. But if you have a gift there, we want to put you to work, right? We want to free you to use your gift in this setting. If you have a gift for art, oftentimes we'll have people paint. We've done different things like that. If you have a heart for that, please let us know. Fill out a connections card. Drop us an email. I think we're, like, almost out of connections cards. So email Kevin. Everybody email Kevin if you want to get involved.
It's brian@mosaiclincoln.com. That's how you get me. Anytime you want me.
Yes, do that. And so some of the areas, just so you know, that we need help. Just to come out, be honest, be candid. Set up. All right, so far we've kind of all pitched in and that kind of thing, and it's been awesome. Once we go to two services, like, the dynamics change quite a bit. And so we need people to just show up at 8 a.m. and help set up. You don't need a talent for that, just a big heart, right? Just a servant's heart, somebody who's willing to get their hands dirty. What am I missing? Kids, thank you, Mosaic Kids. I talked to Brian this last week, and he said that we've lost 7 volunteers in, like, a week or a month to life change. We had, like, 4 or 5 that moved out of state, and others are having babies and stuff like that, so they're going to be out for a while. If you have a clean record and can love on some kids in a clean record sort of way and show them the love of Jesus... Thank you for that. Thanks for the clarification. He knows I'm a Michael Jackson fan, so need to clarify that one. Too soon? Too soon. Sorry. We're going to edit that part out of the podcast. But we need you to serve. And so anyway, here's what we're going to do. Here's what this means for us, and we'll wrap this up. Is on our one-year birthday as a church. So very first Sunday in March, March 4th, I believe, is we're going to pull the trigger on 2 services. And what we're praying and trusting God for is in between now and then that we're going to have people step up and begin to use their gifts in a God-honoring way to serve him in whatever way you can. And if you get anything from this morning, I hope it's that you realize that we are idiots and that God is good. You know, like, doing this whole thing, it's like we're so unqualified to do this. And this is why one of those themes that comes up in Mosaic all the time is, like, we don't know what we're doing. We're just preaching the gospel and loving people the best that we can, and God is continuing to be faithful and change lives. And so March 4th, we're going to pull the trigger on 2 services at 9 and 11. And I think 9 o'clock is when we're going to have child care available, and there won't be child care for 11, right?
The nursery. Nursery at
Yeah, home. Nursery we'll have for both, but for Mosaic Kids, I think. Oh, we're going to still talk about it. Okay.
We're idiots.
That's a nice way of saying you're an idiot publicly. So what we're hoping and what we're praying for and trusting God for is that this community will rise up like you always have. Am I forgetting anything? No? Okay, so here's what we're going to do. Worship team, you can come up. We are at this time going to take our offering as a church.